Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. Season's greetings, happy holidays, all the in-betweens that you would usually say. We have a great show in store for you as I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Spencer Williams.
Ran out of names,
did you? No, I was going to say some things, but I'm just, we'll save it for the rest of the episode.
Oh, all right. Restraint. Yeah. That's new.
Exactly. And speaking of restraint, we got the opposite of that here with us today as the intern is back. And this time she brought beer, so she's okay. We have intern Amy back with us.
Yeah, that's me. I did. But, you know, it's cold. The beer and the outside world. Maybe it'll warm the cockles of your heart just a little bit.
So we got a great show in store for you. We're going to be discussing some holiday favorites, some unconventional holiday favorites at that, with a review of Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. So stick around as we dive into that. But before we do, Spencer, give them opening credits.
Tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, connect with us on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers, on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
There you go. You were. It was like watching a plane land. It was like, you could do it. Started to wobble at the end, but you landed it. Good job, Spencer. Good job.
And it's already started.
Oh, what? I'm congratulating him on a great job of landing the plane. That's all I'm saying.
There was an eyeglasses push on that. That was perfection.
It's just because he's wearing his new glasses. That's all it is.
They look good.
Check out all of our previous episodes, as Spencer mentioned, on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, you can check us out on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers. And on Twitter and Instagram at Filmlosophy101. We have had a great year so far in terms of podcasting. Not so much as everything else, but in terms of the show, we've had some really awesome entries. So if you're looking for something specific, we may have something for you. Check us out on our website, like we said, at filmlosophers.com. But it is time to dive into our main topic of the evening, and that is the tale that is as old as time.
It's not a song as old as rhyme.
No, we are talking about A Christmas Tale in this. And that is one of my personal holiday favorites, Rare Exports.
I'm sorry.
This song was amazing. We voted on this. It was
such
so good.
A random choice. And I swear, I really hope the guy doesn't come in to find us like,
all right, turn it off, turn it off.
We can turn it off. I wanted that initial shock factor.
This is actually one of my holiday favorites. Actually, it's part of my family's holiday favorites. They like to watch it as well. I'm not the only one. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation as we dive into that. But before we do, Spencer, give him that official synopsis goodness in the midst of this craziness.
A young boy named Petre and his friend Uso think a secret mountain drilling project near their home in northern Finland has uncovered the tomb of Santa Claus. However, this is a monstrous evil Santa, much unlike the cheery Saint Nick of legend. When Petre's father captures a feral old man in his wolf trap, the man may hold the key to why reindeer are being slaughtered and... Oh, yeah, there are reindeer in this movie.
Yeah.
I completely forgot. What is he talking about? What reindeer?
They're technically caribou.
Okay, why reindeer are being slaughtered and children are disappearing.
Technically, they're not. They're domesticated, so they are reindeer.
Yes, but they've also let them roam until they decide to murder them in a pen, but later
much
we'll
like
have that conversation.
Cows and other things?
Moo.
Exactly. Written and directed by Halmari Helander, the film stars Ani and Jorma... Tomila, Per Christian Elfsen, Tommy Korpela, Ranu Hufoven, Ilmari. I'm trying to do my best.
Yeah, you are.
You are committing.
Jarvan Pai, Peter Jacobi, Jonathan Hutchins. Oh, that's just Jonathan Hutchins. And Risto Salmi. So, the film actually started as a short film titled Rare Exports, Inc. It actually received a positive reception and from an online audience. And so the actual studio, Woodpecker Films, don't ask me where that came from, just that's, actually went and produced a sequel to the short film called Rare Exports, The Safety Instructions in 2005. So all that to say that the film itself did debut in main theaters in 2010. Sorry, trying to figure it out. So, yes, this is a movie that's very interesting. It's very different from the norm in terms of Christmas movies. Because when you think Christmas movies, you think Home Alone or you think...
Gremlins.
To some extent, Gremlins. You think White Christmas. You think
Holiday Inn.
It's a Wonderful Life. Holiday Inn. Is Holiday Inn a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I get that one mixed up with White Christmas.
White Christmas actually comes from Holiday Inn. I can have that talk all day, but we'll do it later. They also have a very, very socially incorrect scene with blackface. And so if you don't have the original copy, you don't see it. It gets cut out.
Smart move on their part.
Yes. They need to rectify that very quickly.
But with all the like the mainstays in Christmas seasons, the ones that usually are brought about, you know, Christmas Vacation, you got the specials like with It's Christmas, Charlie Brown. There's tons of things. These movies that we're going to be talking about for this week and next week are kind of the more unique to our own personal tastes. And I went ahead and went first because Spencer just needed more time to think about it because he's part Grinch. And we have proof for that. So it's okay. Yes, we do. And we'll talk about it next week.
Does he have like a sonogram of your heart and three sizes too small? Because I don't think that's correct.
You don't know what I have, so that's okay.
That's questionable.
So in terms of my holiday choice, I went with a movie that had been a mainstay since I saw it in theaters back in 2010 and has been consistently watched every year and even outside of Christmas as well. So it's one of those movies that just it's the gift that keeps on giving all year round, as Cousin Eddie would say. But yes, we are talking about Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. So if I want to get into kind of like the meat and potatoes of this movie, this movie was a movie that I had brought into my home at the time when I was still living with my parents. I brought into the home and I had them watch it. And soon it became a Christmas tradition for my brother. And then it became a Christmas tradition with my folks, my parents. And ultimately, everybody began watching it every year around Christmas time. I am not ashamed of that. I am happy to the fullest extent. And I think it's safe to say, because I forced both of you to watch this movie.
Correct.
And interestingly enough, both of your guys' reactions weren't too far off. So before we jump into the actual review of this, I want to know, what are your guys' first expectations going into this particular movie? Because I didn't tell Spencer anything about it. I actually sprung it on him like at the last minute. My brother, who was there at the time, actually was kind of excited and already had it in mind that what we were going to be experiencing. But Spencer was like, huh? And the thing is that I can't tell Spencer these things anymore. It's like when it comes to showing him movies like that, because what he'll do is he'll read up on it ahead of time. He'll get all the information and then he'll turn it into a one device movie. And he will have something out while he's quote unquote, I'm doing the air quotes, watching the movie. And then when I say, hey, did you watch that? Oh yeah, yeah. And I know he was looking down and I said, what happened? And he'll say what happened because he read about it prior to watching the movie.
I mean, he's not far off.
Not far off of what?
I mean, I do the reading up part when I'm like, I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be scared.
Well, that's why I kind of pushed it on you at that time as well. Yeah. I showed you the trailer prior to...
Which the trailer had spooked me enough. And I was just like, I don't like the concept of, you know, there is an anti-Santa Like, I know everything. Yes, it's not sunshine and rainbows. And I understand the concepts of some of the older myths and mythoses from other countries to be like, children, you need to be good. Mwah-ha-ha. But this one, I was like, oh. Yeah.
So that was your full expectation of the film?
No, my expectation of the film was really, I don't know what's going on anymore, was really more so, I was apprehensive. I didn't like, not that I don't like an anti-Santa, I just don't like scary movies. I can't handle it. And so the trailer, I was like, no, no, Finland. I know you get spooky. Back up. Don't do this to me. So yeah, my expectation was I was going to be clutching a pillow or like going, okay, I'm done. We can do this off. It was, the creep factor was there. But yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. Spencer.
What about you, Spence?
Well, like you said, you kind of sprung it on the last minute, so I didn't really have any time to gather impressions about it, except for like the two sentences you told me before the movie started.
Yes.
And then I was like, well, this sounds like Robot Santa from Futurama.
Robot Santa.
It's true, yeah.
But
except
he's
it's not
fun.
Voiced by John Goodman. The first one was voiced by John Goodman.
Oh, okay.
That's why I mentioned. Okay. After the fact, who knows? But who cares? yeah, and the general idea of this movie obviously is the real quote unquote Santa Claus, which they don't call him by his actual name, like his old original Finnish name, like Krampus, but they just call him Santa Claus. The original Santa Claus is being dug up from this mountain high grave, if you will. And this young kid, who seems to be the only kid who believes it, is trying to tell everybody that Santa Claus is coming
to town.
And he's not a good guy.
Terrible.
He's got a sack full of children, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
And a big old switch.
And a big old switch. So, in terms of holiday movies, in terms of holiday traditions, let's take a step back. What are typical holiday traditions that you guys usually do that pertain specifically to the TV? Let's go ahead and start with Amy, because I know Spencer needs a lot more time on this one.
Well, TV specifics, I mean, it's...
Like whether if it's film, TV show, holiday special, whether if it's, I don't know, you play a certain video game... I mean, there's all kinds of traditions when it comes to the holidays. I mean, people watch religiously. They watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Some people watch the Garfield one. Some people have to see It's a Wonderful Life. Some people have to see, I don't know, what was that, Work Party or whatever? There's a recent movie with Seth Rogen. I don't know. Everybody has their own traditions. So what I'm asking is, what is typically something you do when it comes to watching or viewing or
during the holidays, what am I participating on? A visual medium?
Mm-hmm. Or an interactive medium?
Yeah, true. Okay. So the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the old, I almost said claymation. It's not stop animation.
Rankin and Bass ones?
Yes. I watch that. And then it's Christmas time, Charlie Brown. And then I might have a viewing of White Christmas, but that's more towards like the week of Christmas. But I'm not like the funny thing is, as much as it's like, what do you watch for Christmas? I don't like, and that's coming from, I guess, long seated. My parents were like, go read a book, or, oh, we turn off the TV now. We play Christmas music like that, but not like, oh, let's sit down and watch. Well, there's one that was kind of snuck in, but it was really underhanded. So my family, well, I'll abbreviate. My family a bit cray cray. So the 24-hour marathon of It's a Christmas Story, or
A Christmas Story. Yeah.
When that's going on, my dad absolutely loved it. It was part of his tradition growing up that they would watch it on Christmas Day because that's what they would do. My mother absolutely hates the movie. And so when she's out of the room, my dad would switch to it. So I would watch sections of A Christmas Story, and then he would have to change it back as soon as she came into the room. So I literally went for years watching varying sections of A Christmas Story until I finally got to see it, like, when I moved out of the house.
Gosh.
So,
by the way, you know there's a sequel to that.
Is it You Shoot Dry Out?
No, it's called A Summer Story.
That sounds sketchy.
No, it's long story short, it's about Ralphie learns about the...
Does he learn about kissing?
No.
I don't know.
Everybody gets into tops. And so he ends up like in Chinatown or something, and he ends up buying like this pink one that supposedly has blades that come out when he spins it. And he wants to play. Essentially, everybody compete with tops.
Just like you would with marbles or pogs.
Yeah, exactly. So it's about the summer. There's a lot of other things that happen. What about you, Spence? Let's kind of bring that around here. Let's see that.
He was checking the validity of your summer story.
No, it's what it's called.
No, it actually is. That's
like I know there are more elements to that film, but I know that's what the gist of it was. Ralphie is pretty much
never heard of this movie before.
Yeah, it was a lower budget film, but it was a sequel to and it has the dad from Beethoven in it. Playing the father.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. I believe.
Or he's just yelling, Beethoven!
Real quick, this movie had a budget of $15 million, and then the box office was $70,000.
There you go. Oh. I didn't say it was a successful one. I just said they made a sequel.
My soul.
So, speaking of unsuccessful, what other films did you do during the holidays pertaining to, as Amy had put it, either visual medium or interactive medium?
Yeah, there's not really much of that. Like, the closest thing I can think of is I remember watching a Charlie Brown Christmas a lot as a kid.
Actually, no. You mentioned when we were having conversations a story similar to Amy's about what was always on the TV when you went to go visit your grandma's.
Yeah, that was A Christmas Story.
So you both grew up watching bits and pieces of this film without actually seeing...
No, I saw the whole film by that point.
What was like, high five.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was facing him.
It's okay. That's why I just kept putting up my hand.
Yeah, but like that wasn't until like...
Totally left hanging, just so you know.
That doesn't count when you can't see it.
She's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. My hand's still up. Yeah, it's cramping.
Just
okay.
Rotate slightly.
It's fine. You're good.
I'm sorry, when he insults me, I have to give him my full
attention.
Hey, I wasn't insulting. I was just stating the fact that you don't see things for Christmas. You stated that you don't really watch things other than what you watch at your grandma's.
Right. We do more of, you know, hanging out together and music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to change here. So
he's becoming your grandma?
Apparently.
I could try. So
that's sketchy. That's sketchy.
I mean,
you
don't know.
Good baking skills.
Oh.
I think I'd leave that to you. I mean, just saying. And since nobody's going to say it, that was an underhanded compliment. Just saying. That was just a very slipped in there. Still didn't realize.
He makes awesome cookies. I can approve. Spencer makes awesome cookies.
So, jumping to the review of the film. One of the unique things about the film is that it is completely in Finnish.
Yes, except for the Americans.
Except for like the one or two scenes that have like English speakers.
And
I don't even think
Santa
they're Americans.
Claus.
They're not Americans.
That's what they call them.
No, I know, but they're not
actual Americans.
Yeah, like one of them is very clearly either like Australian, and then the other one is most definitely English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like...
They can always bankroll secret, you know, excavations of buried treasures and or, you know, quarrelsome magical items. They're English.
What? Okay. you can't nod at her with that. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones. Hello.
Yeah.
Who? I'm sorry.
That's
who?
Actually what I was thinking about.
Exactly.
Belloc was French.
The people like in
not the top men.
Top men. You're, okay, we're gonna move on because both of you guys are getting ridiculous.
Bankrolling, not doing the work.
So, from the top, talking about the acting in this film, even though it was all in Finnish, you got to hand it to the little boy who played Pietari. He was pretty on point. Like usually, when it comes to most low budget acting. Like, you don't expect... Because I did take a look at both the original short films. And the little boy that's in the short films and the dad... Actually, the dad, the son, and Aimo are all the same original actors from the short films back in 2003 and 2005.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Pietari is like a lot older, obviously, because in the movie
he's so tiny in those
in the short films. Yeah, yeah, he's itty bitty. But in this one, he's all grown up, and it's great to see that translate well. That it, the film does translate well from its, you know, predecessors, and the little boy does a great job acting. I think mostly in part because they actually do play a real life father and son, so it makes that easy.
Well, they don't play it because they are.
No, they're playing the real life counterparts.
What?
Their real life counterpart is that they are father and son.
Yeah, so they're not
playing. But they're playing father and son in the movie.
Yeah, but I feel
that's
like...
That's what I'm saying. You're not listening.
I'm listening. You're just using Grinch. A bunch of words that are just really circular.
Are you not keeping up?
I'm keeping up just fine.
Wait, just because you got nice just glasses because... doesn't mean anything, okay? Just...
Oh, yeah. Deflected glasses.
You're seeing your glasses. So, talking about the acting as well, on the other side of this, what did you guys think of the other actors in this one, the other fathers? Well, just one of them's father. I don't know if...
We don't know about the poor guy that dresses up as Santa.
Yeah, thing. That guy.
I don't think he's a dad.
What did you guys think of their acting, Spence?
Well, I feel like most of the acting in this movie was fine. Like... There was nothing that I'd write home about, but, like, there was nothing where I'm like, ah, oh, this person's awful. Like, you know, it's decent. Real decent acting.
Let's see. On a scale of from Daniel Day-Lewis to Tara Reid, what are we looking at here?
Okay. Much closer to Daniel Day-Lewis than Tara Reid.
Okay. Okay. So then it's decent enough is what you're saying. Oh, my gosh. We have to show her all those movies. We have to put you through that total, like, cinematic stream of hell.
Get ready for a gauntlet.
Can I bring my own snacks?
Oh, yes.
You'll have to, because you're going to need a distraction.
I am a distraction. That's not a question.
That is true. What about you, Amy? What did you think?
It was, for the most part, it was really well acted, especially Pietri and his dad. They were, and the guy that got his ear bitten off, that was random Santa, like random dresser up Santa. He had the conviction of acting, if we want to call it that or whatever, of his character. And then all the are we spoiling?
Yeah, we're gonna spoil this movie
because so, I have to. I have so much
guess, right?
Just in that last little bit.
Yes. So then also the creepiness of the elves, a.k.a. what we see is Santa, that conviction is super unsettling.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that they're out there in the middle of nowhere with
their
you know, Finnish sausages hanging out in the middle of nowhere.
Kind you of just like, keep averting your eyes.
It's yeah, you're like, let's see, we're just going to put a piece of paper on the bottom half of the TV so we don't have to see their, you know,
because they're running. Santas.
And they're running in the cold.
It's running of the Santas.
It's running of something. that particular scene is a bit much. But, I mean, overall, I think you're right. The dedication of those particular actors doing those parts. And some of the older act, some of the fatherly, I guess, because I don't really want to call them adults. Because there's a ton of adults
but
in this movie.
It's the main play... father-esque figures, because like the guy that dresses up as Santa with the cookies who gets his ear bitten off by an elf is kind of hilarious, and he's committed. And then Uso's dad is kind of like, I speak English, I can talk to them. And then it's like that broken, like he's working on it and he's doing the best he can, and I'm like, I can't tell if you're just playing at this, but you're doing a real good job of being like, I speak some English, man.
I'm not gonna lie, he looks partially Latino. Like, he does. I don't know if it's maybe just the culture, maybe the way people look out there, but he looked like somebody who would be in Mexico City selling boots. Like, he looks like somebody I may know in my family or somebody that my family might know. So, I can say that. Just saying, I've seen people that look like him. So.
I'm not going to touch that one.
He already touched it.
But in terms of the rest of the cast, I mean, obviously, there's a really... One of the funniest things that I really always kind of find amusing in the film is the cop in the movie who right away when he comes out looks like Brian Cox, the actor. If you don't know who Brian Cox is, he is, what has he done? He's been in a lot of different things. I just know.
I can see him in my head.
He's been in.
He's got lots of spittle when he talks to people.
He played a Stryker, William Stryker from X2.
Uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. He's literally in everything, and I always see like when he starts talking and he starts yelling, because of the size of his jaw, there's spit, and I just no.
Well, there you go.
That's one of my hard no's. No.
It seems like every time I see it, I expect Brian Cox's voice to come out of that man's mouth, and it's just
not.
It's not, but I'm like, I've seen the movie already like a couple dozen times, and I still expect it. So, I don't know. It's really interesting. But in terms of, other than acting, another highlight of the film is kind of the story element. Like, the story element of the film itself is pretty unique. I mean, if you're thinking about it, back in 2010, there wasn't really a big push for awareness of who Krampus was, which is probably why they stuck with the idea of keeping it about, quote-unquote, Santa Claus, or the real Santa Claus. So, to be honest, having this film come out as kind of like the predecessor of what we now have as a common theme in the Christmas slash horror element, I guess, if you want to.
Holiday slashers.
Well, not so much holiday slashers.
Holiday like, horror.
I mean, because Christmas slashers have been around for years. You know, think of Silent Night. You think of Black Christmas. All 70s films, mind you. But all these movies pertain to either killings on or around Christmas or Santa being the killer, but because he's psychotic in those movies. So this is more of an element that's based in some of like actual lore with some people's traditions. Me and Spencer had this conversation the other day because Spencer was asking if that was actually something genuine, like if Krampus was a legit thing or if it was just something they were making up. And I told him, I said, do you not remember the episode in The Office?
Belschnickel. I was wondering if this was like, this was the callback to that episode, because that's why I was sitting here and you're like, oh, 2010. And I'm like, but when was the Belschnickel episode?
I'm pretty sure it was after that. Had it been.
Oh, I don't know. But do you remember that episode, Spencer?
He does not.
No.
Dwight dressed up as a very dirty old man with a beard and a bundle of twigs and a sack to snatch naughty children and beat them.
That sounds like Dwight.
It does sound like they actually have a pop of him as Belschnickel, which he has a little bundle of twigs and the really nasty beard.
Like, there you go.
It's hardcore.
But like the origins of this, they do have some semblance of roots within their traditions. I mean, German folklore has Belschnickel. Most European or Russian, Middle European, like Russian type people, they have traditions in Krampus. It just depends on where or what part of the world you're in and what you believe or what your heritage, you know, relies on. It was between this movie. So the choice for doing today's episode was between two movies. It was either going to be this film or Michael Dougherty's Krampus. Speaking of which.
Either way, we were getting cramped into a bag. We were getting shoved into a bag and beaten with twigs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. But 2015's Krampus by Michael Dougherty is actually kind of fun. And it's really interesting. The thing is that Amy can't really handle a lot of like jump scary type stuck in a house kind of films.
I figured out after watching Halloween 2018... because I had made a commitment to watch a set number of horror movies during the month of October.
Yep.
At the behest of Eddie, because it was his birthday. And I'm like, what would you like for birthday? He's like, I'd like you to watch horror movies. I was like, I should have avoided that like the plague.
Your fault.
So I got finally, yeah, it was, I own up to it. It was my fault. Now I will never ask him. I'll just be like, here, I got you a pair of socks. Happy birthday. But so I found out in watching Halloween 2018, I finally figured out one of my like really bad, one of the really big problems I have with horror movies in pertaining to my anxiety levels, which it's what's horror supposed to do is raise stress and anxiety in you of the uncertain and the unknown.
You're it's already houses. Getting there because it sounds houses. Like you're getting there.
I know. It's okay? Houses. No.
You want me to get you a cup of milk or something?
Oh, we have milk. Okay. No. It's like, can we warm it up a little?
Oh, my gosh.
But so it's houses. Anything that's taking place in a house, it's that right around the corner type of mentality mm-hmm. that I get literally, I freak out. And then the other one is, I'm very sound oriented when it comes to things. So when you get the dead quiet and then it's and I will like, I also have a delayed startle response. So I'll get scared, but it'll be like a half a second to a second afterwards. So literally it's like, I'm watching music, like freak out. And then I hit people. So nobody sits in next to me. Hence why I said, no Krampus. I'll take the little Finnish boys in the wild with a possible Krampus in an ice block. Let's do that, please. See, look, and he's laughing at me now because yeah. it's true.
Well, and so I showed the trailer to Spencer as well. And what did you think of that trailer?
To Krampus.
Yeah.
Ah, that looks interesting, actually.
Oh, see? Hey, there you go.
He's braver than me. This is Killer Pinata and Thanksgiving all over again.
Well, did you get scared by Thanksgiving?
I saw part of it, and yes.
Oh, uh-huh, okay.
I'm scared. I don't do horror movies. I'm a bad intern.
It's just that turkey looks so fake.
And I get scared. It does. There's a killer pinata, and the pinata shouldn't hurt my feelings or the carousel. Where I have problems.
Which we're going to be addressing all of those movies, hopefully, in a upcoming month. Just completely dedicated to
the magic of a B movie.
The magic of this generation's B movie. Mm. Well, because there's a lot mm-hmm. So talking about this particular movie, going back to Rare Exports.
Yeah.
Were there any highlights that you guys saw in this film, Spencer? Don't speak all at once. It's okay.
Don't speak.
No, a lot of mine are more. I take issue with some of
them. I know what you're going to want to take issue with, and we're getting there.
There's a second thing though too.
Oh, there's more than one. Yeah, I like this.
I just feel like, gosh,
just lay it out on the table. Good. Just
I feel like Petre knows too much at the beginning of like what's happening
because he's probably the only person who reads on that mountain.
Yeah, but like it would have been nice to like learn it with him, especially since you know
you do learn it with him in the credits, in the opening credits. As he's going through all the pictures and he's reading through the book?
Yeah, but like, I can't read that. It's not in English. Aww. I don't know what he's reading. And it's not like a book with super detailed pictures. All it has is a child being boiled by Santa.
A like, child being beaten by Santa. Yeah. A child being thrown in a sack by Santa. A child being eaten by Santa. It was the IKEA cattle.
You said eaten twice, by the way.
Beaten and eaten.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was the IKEA pictograph of how Krampus, how the real Santa Claus is scary. And hysterically enough, that was actually one of my favorite parts because I was like, oh, I got cut up right quick about what's going on. This child knows things.
Well, I was just more curious of like, how did he connect, you know, that Santa is there? And how do you know what those people were even doing? Because that mountain was pretty far. But mm-hmm. I guess they didn't have anything else to do, so they just walked.
They literally look forward to one time a year where they round up reindeer. So I'm pretty sure they don't have a lot to do. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, I guess I just...
What more did you expect? What was the expectation there?
I just... Because, like, I don't know... I didn't know, like, the folklore of this. So, like, it's hard for me to really understand... what the threat is, especially when you find out the old man they thought was Santa was just an elf. I'm like, well, what the heck is Santa then?
I concur. That part, that was for twisties. Woof.
And then all of a sudden he has horns. I was like, wait, what? What? Why? Mm-hmm. How? What is he?
I think we really have to see Krampus now.
Because, especially since this is, kind of one of the first ones that might have hit, America about that. I just felt like it could have done with a little bit more filling in.
Well, I don't think they intended to be the first Krampus film. I don't think that was the intention for them to be as big as they became.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened nevertheless. And I think one of the great things about this particular movie is it is definitively a having fun kind of movie. You can tell all the people in the film, they've grown up with this story thread of since 2003 in terms of the film. They've grown through it and grown with it and deciding on going with, all right, well then we've got a lot of great attention to this. There's a lot of investors. Let's just, bite the bullet and make the movie. And they did. And it's a very unique entry into the cinematic history of Christmas movies, but it's definitely probably one of the more impactful ones as well. Because you don't expect it. People in 2010 didn't decide to go to the movie theaters and were like, oh, a Christmas movie, a Christmas tale, rare exports, a Christmas tale. And they go in and it's it is not Santa Claus is coming to town at all. There is no Bing Crosby. There's no Bing Crosby in this bad boy.
That's Fred Astaire.
No, that's Santa Claus is coming to town.
That's what you just said. And you said Bing Crosby. It's Fred
he
Astaire.
He said Santa Claus is coming to town. I was thinking back with White Christmas.
It's okay.
Thank you. See, he agreed with me. Thank you. Rude. So, talking about this particular movie, don't give me the stink eye. You're all the way across the table. I will throw something at that ojo. That's Spanish for eye. Just in case you don't know.
Talking about this movie.
Yeah, we are talking about this movie. I'm just kidding. Okay, relax. In terms of this particular movie, yes, this was one of the first ones that actually began to introduce this folklore to cinema. And mind you, it didn't get traction until probably a year or two after it made its way to the internet and people were able to download it and, torrent or what was around there in the time?
LimeWire.
Well, LimeWire, FrostWire.
Isn't that kind of past their heyday, 2012-ish?
You could do Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
Torrent. That's what I said. Torrent.
You said torrents, yeah.
You're good. Getting access to all these movies, having them on, getting on their flash drives or hard drives, passing them around so other people can watch them and whatever. I actually remember having this movie on a PS3 for a long while and a hard drive, which I don't know what happened to the hard drive. It was a 500 gigabyte hard drive that I believe had a ton of movies on it, but I know this was one of the first ones I had on there. I am not incriminating myself into piracy, just saying.
I needed books. I needed ebooks. That's probably it. Sounds like the dumbest excuse, but when I was a pirate and I torrented ebooks because I couldn't get to the library. I'm really sad. I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
So let's go over to the next talking point that I want to kind of bring up, and that is Spencer's other gripe. Spencer,
the first one wasn't really a gripe. It was just more I want to learn more. I just want to learn more.
Your official gripe for this film.
Okay, this is an official.
There we go. Your official gripe for this film.
Okay. So at the end of the movie, they blow up Santa. We'll come up back to that. That's not even the important part. But once they blow up Santa and he is apparently dead, then all of the elves are free from Santa, it looks like.
They look like they don't got a boss no more.
Yeah. And so everyone's like, hey, since we lost all this money on the reindeers, let's sell the elves as Santas, as regional Santas, and they stay there as a business model. I had a problem with their business model. And I don't know why.
This is the first thing that comes out of this man's mouth as the movie is over and he's like, this is a horrible business model.
Like, the liability.
This is totally this is totally unsustainable or something.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't know if you're just renting them out or if you're selling them, which is slavery, which is problematic, which I don't even know.
I told him, hey, it's white slaves. It's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that was my reaction, too. But, like, just, like, one of these elves bit someone's ear off. Like, and some of them had a hard time through the training. And so it just seems like you're opening yourself up to some lawsuits with, like, oh no, this elf killed everyone in town.
Unless you have him sign a
waiver. I'm pretty sure it was a communal effort. It wasn't just this one. So you can't say this one elf.
Well, I mean, they're going to different
places. Oh, you're talking about after they've left.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the previous.
But if the elves have no Krampus to serve, shouldn't they, once reprogrammed, be able to sustain some type of Santa-esque, you know, regime and gain some weight? Because they tiny.
What are they, the KGB or something? What the heck is going on? Like, sleeper soldiers.
I'm sorry. I was trying to quickly do research on all the other things that are anti-Santas, and it came up with a lot of Germans.
Gets a phone call. The candy cane is in the chocolate.
In the chocolate? No.
All right, comrade, I am ready for fight.
That was actually a pretty good impression, I'm not going to lie. I'm impressed.
So you're saying it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm going to say?
I just don't
long-term
understand.
Long-term sustainability.
I don't understand the business model. That's really...
I mean, it looked like they were just selling them off.
Which is problematic.
I mean...
We don't know what the slave laws are in Finland.
Yeah, like what?
I mean,
slavery?
Are they
for
technically
once a month a year? Like you're using one.
I mean,
and out of the year, what are you doing with this person?
And
I'm just saying, it doesn't. Well, that's what I was going to say. You don't know like what they're sustained on, like
gingerbread.
They did like those
cookies. You do know that they're attracted to it, and they're pre-programmed to consume them. Because, as everybody knows, when it's Christmas Eve, what do you put out for Santa?
Cookies.
Put out gingerbread?
Both of you guys, come on.
Put out carrots for the reindeer and
tacos and horchata. But other than that, you put cookies.
Come on, Rompompey over there. You don't put out horchata.
You put out cookies and milk. So
and
I'm
carrots.
Pretty sure.
For the dieting.
What is this? The Santa Claus? Oh my gosh. Nobody puts. You get coal in your stocking if you put
the
carrots.
Chocolate variety. Yes, and if I have enough pressure, I'll make
if
it
you
into
made
diamonds.
If you made chocolate covered carrots, Santa would wake you up in bed and smack you.
What is this? What
Santa,
is wrong with
real?
You?
He's
my
like, yeah, and
candy.
So is this, and pop you upside the head.
I'm putting you on Krampus's list next year.
No. Oh goodness.
I agree with you to an extent. Okay. Yes, this business model is completely unsustainable. Yes, it is essentially slavery to an extent because let me finish. Let me finish. Your eyebrows went all the way to the top of your head.
Yeah,
and it's like
slavery, but
this is the thing is this.
Uh-huh.
We don't know if. According to the movie universe,
uh-huh.
The world as to which the movie takes place in,
mm-hmm.
If there's been some kind of examination or whatever to prove that they're not really human.
Okay, see, now you're starting on the slippery slope.
Well, I'm just
what
saying.
What is a human? Because that was used before
no,
in the past.
I'm not saying what is a human. I'm saying we don't know what these things are.
Mm-hmm.
One was literally impaled through the side of his gut and was probably shipped off to, you know, Zimbabwe or shipped off somewhere else for, you know, being the next Santa Claus for a third world country. Who knows? What I'm saying is we don't know what they are. We don't know. Just because they resemble humans doesn't mean they're actually humans. They may be just humanoid, but not humans. So... maybe in that world there was a way to prove that. And yes, I can hear somebody like kind of complaining that, well, yeah, and they had tests to prove that people were either witches or not, and we saw how that went. Yes, I know that tests can be fallible, but this is that universe that we don't really fully know and understand.
Yeah, I feel like probably a little bit more explaining about like how the whole Santa thing works, because like especially since you mentioned that like Santa has a tendency of like in other stories that he has a tendency of being immortal. Is that true here?
Yeah,
because if he comes back, then those elves are everywhere all of a sudden, and that's a bad Christmas for everyone.
True. Comrade, the candy cane. No,
you know, the funny thing is, I'm doing my very quick research. Krampus does not exist in Russia, like Russia proper.
I'm talking about your sleeper soldier method over there, talking about how they're over here in like hidden bungalows waiting to be executed for executing whatever.
I don't know. Legitimately, all these old naked men came climbing up.
Is that all
the
you
mountain?
Remember from the movie? Old naked men.
Should, I worked at a swimming pool for
so
like
you're talking
10
about
years
old naked
and I
men.
Saw a lot of naked people. It was very uncomfortable.
Look, you keep,
there's flashbacks.
You keep your pruny bits to yourself. We're
pruny
not gonna,
bits?
I don't know what you
Calm
saw.
Calm yourself.
You're the one talking about watching people in the pool.
Oh my gosh.
No, they would walk out because they had like a, they were talking to somebody that got distracted and they didn't put on their clothes and they would walk outside.
That happened multiple times. How?
Because
Vietnam vets.
Because pruny bit lifesaver over here was on guard. And so
pruny bit lifesaver.
I don't
so
know who
mean.
You,
between like, between the small
hey
children.
John, we gotta get to the bar. All right, Marv, let's go. I gotta put
it
my pants on.
It wasn't Marv, but John actually was one of the
and
guys.
And they're over like, I gotta put on my pants. Ah, put your pants on in the car. I walk out still all finished sausages hanging in the wind and whatever. I don't
they
know.
Were Vietnam
I don't know.
Vets.
Okay. Don't hit the gas. Or I don't know. Whatever this. I don't know.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's just pointing out that literally, I mentioned that there were old naked men that were hiding out in this mountain.
That you were watching the old naked men.
Calm down.
Okay, pretty bits.
I can't throw anything at him because there's equipment over there.
It's true.
I'm saying that apparently suddenly there was an influx of all of these immortal old men / Santa / elves. And
now are we talking about the movie or are we talking about the pool? Hold on real quick.
The movie.
Okay, I'm just.
Yeah, let her talk because I want to.
She is. Go, okay, go ahead.
No, never mind.
Oh my gosh. Come on.
So what I'm saying is suddenly the influx of old, dirty, naked Santa / elves / men folk from the mountain suddenly spewed forth after Krampus was excavated. Like, that reeks staunchly, starchly, I don't know. It reeks of being sleeper cell Santas or something to that effect. And I think they might be immortal because of that whole stabbing bit. That man got straight, like, impaled through the liver.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it did creep me.
So what would it really, anything actually kill them?
Besides fire?
Or would they need anything to be sustained, I mean, actually, in terms of sustenance?
Nobody wants a skinny Santa.
They were all skinny.
They were on the...
Yeah, they were on the thin side.
They were possibly in a cave for hundreds of years, waiting for Santa to be unlocked. And then, now that he's dead, like, just fusing a whole bunch of different Santa Claus rules together. Like, does this mean that, like, it's like Tim Allen's Santa Claus movie where it's like, he's dead
the
now.
The mantle passes on
to
someone.
Yeah, the mantle passes on to one of the elves. And because they're all separated, all of the elves become Santa simultaneously.
Or does one have the siren call and becomes the Santa and then they all flock to him again? And like suddenly one of those syndromes where they just drop the toy and the child and start walking out and slowly stripping and they're walking to the ocean to get to Lucy. I've
what
had a long
happening over
just an
here.
Army under the ocean.
Of naked old
think
Finnish
of,
men.
Think
well,
of,
no, they'll have suits by then.
They would have suits.
Oh,
but
they'll
think
have
of,
suits by then. Okay.
Oh, wait, you're right. They brought Corona Beach.
Yeah, exactly.
But think of like that scene from Pirates where they're all underwater just walking. just it's a whole bunch of Finnish men on their way to find their new Santa. I've had a long day.
Also, I'm just saying, the movie could have avoided this by saying a lot more. That's all I'm saying.
They spoke it Finnish.
It's not my fault I can't re-Finnish.
I can't either. I just did a lot of inference.
Like, a lot of the pictures were self-described. Like, you could totally get the gist of what was
in. Yeah, but you know how sometimes pictures have words next to them that describe other things that aren't in the picture?
No, I agree with that part so much. This is why I can't address all the IKEA pictures.
I don't understand this picture. Can you read to me the sentence underneath?
Hey,
what is happening?
IKEA.
He's making a pancake, sir. Oh, that's what he's doing. Okay.
I thought it was like a crepe. It could have been something else. It's pictographs.
Excuse me. What is this? What is this picture here? What is that? It's a plate, sir. Oh, just where does it say that? Right underneath. No.
He doesn't read Finnish.
He doesn't. He doesn't also read picture, apparently. So I'm just.
IKEA
kindergarten
will be
fun. Did not do well for
IKEA
picture books, my friend. I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. I'm going to get you like
don't
a whole. Like, what were those golden? What were those?
The golden books.
Yeah, I'm going to get you a whole set of golden books.
They're expensive now. But I bet some of those elves could get you some now.
Spencer, are we sending an old naked Finnish man?
No,
no. He'll have a red hat and he'll hold a.
And that's it.
No.
All right.
I can't come up to your house. I can't be here for Christmas.
I'm not going to be here for that. Why do you think I'm just going to be here with that?
He's going to send it when you least expect.
You remember that sound you said you heard
sleeping.
The other day? you haven't checked your closet yet in a while, right?
Oh, gosh.
They said to put a bowl of water in the corner and just leave him there.
There is an old fish man here. I am leaving.
Hopefully that's not one of your neighbors.
Johan, you can come out now.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, that was a really good tangent-y rabbit hole that just went down the tubes real quick.
Wrapping this whole thing up, which, by the way, one thing I can say that I did learn from this movie, I learned how to say dad in a Finnish. Isa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, hey, he cried it enough times. I was like, hey, there you go. Catch on rather quickly.
He was also the kid that he looked like. He reminded me of, oh, my gosh, Lost Boys. I can't remember his
name. Corey Haim, Corey Feldman.
None of the Coreys. I almost said Sutherland, and that's
Kiefer
not right.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes, I was right then. Yes.
He looks nothing like Kiefer Sutherland.
Uso? Yeah, well, less aggressive hair and no facial.
Kiefer Sutherland has a very pronounced forehead.
Well, that child was very pronounced of, like, shenanigans and foreheads. Needless to say, you should watch this film, everybody, and be like, I think Spencer was right about those old men and that business plan. That's too sketchy.
So wrapping this whole thing up in this wonderful holiday conversation that is talked about, old naked Finnish men. let's go around the table and see if the film passes or fails, and how many holiday monocles. And let's go ahead and start with Amy.
So this passes for me. Will it be on my perpetual rewatch list? No, but I will give it a proper no for a story, for the way it was built and how it was executed. I could give you a 4.8 monocles. It was actually really good.
A 4.8 monocles, but it's not worth rewatching.
I'm
that is a bit weird.
Because here's the problem. I still have to let it finish digesting. Oh, I said finish. before I feel that I'll be able to watch it again. Mm. But there are so many parts in the story, the way that it was constructed, how it was cared for, the way that it progressed, it was so unique. The twist on the elves not being Santa was such a left field. Like, I'm like, wait, I'm sorry, what? That it was good, but I need some time to, like, I don't want to do any more Krampus movies. I can't handle this. Between the Whipping Father and Belschnickel, I can't do another Krampus.
We'll do one more.
No.
Spencer, what about you?
No. Spencer, don't pick Krampus.
So for me, even though I this movie passed for me, even though I did complain about bits of it, it was actually really fun to watch. Like, I had fun like the whole time we were doing it, and like the complaints were minor. They're not that big.
Yeah,
deal.
I mean, yeah.
Business plans.
Yeah, it's just like, honestly though,
and I mean it is kind of silly in the whole realm of the idea of it. I mean, it's meant to be not serious, because I mean, you got a bunch of naked old men who are supposed to be elves running through the Finnish countryside during winter. If that's not comedy, I don't know what is.
Oh, I didn't take that as comedy.
I thought that was very alarming, and I kept like they were coming at you, man. Yeah. I think that's the reason I can't watch it again right now. Like, that was aggressive.
Like, those naked men running was terrifying.
When they're being allured away with gingerbread cookies.
No.
Like,
with
come on.
With children in a sack. The running of the elves towards
that
the
was
pen.
That was silly that was, for me. That was
for
funny.
For me, I was like,
like too especially much. when the faux Santa, the guy that's flying the helicopter, does that huge turn, and you know Pietari is on the actual cargo net, and it's swinging around wildly like this, and it's like, that boy just flew off about 100 feet in south direction.
Pietari died so many times during that flight.
If not for falling off, whiplash, or like G-force.
Exposure.
Exposure, hypothermia. All those kids are frozen solid.
So. Especially the ones that are crying at the bottom of the sack.
They're in pajamas in a potato sack. What are you talking about?
And dehydrated, about? Depending upon when the first one was picked up. Because this is multiple days that these children
have been
missing.
Yeah, they've gone sitting next to ovens and heaters. Like,
in sacks. Probably, though they smell terrible.
Yeah, they smell terrible. Probably one of them's dead already.
Probably.
I mean, they've been through a lot.
As long as the majority are still okay.
But how do you feel?
He hasn't finished it.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't finish.
how do you feel, Spencer, about all them Santas?
So it passes for you.
Yeah,
you said.
It passes. And I think I'll give it a 4 out of 5 monocles because I really did like it.
Okay. Rewatchable for you?
Yeah.
So this could be somewhat, maybe if not a yearly, maybe an every other year kind of.
Yeah, like, you know, if it pops back on and like someone's watching it, I might sit down and watch it with them.
Hey, we're creating tradition for you. There you go. Hey, I'm happy.
I'll get you a bundle of birch twigs just in case he misbehaves.
Oh, my gosh. one of the things we didn't mention about that scene with Dwight, by the way, with Belschnickel, is that Belschnickel actually has roots of having blackface. So that's definitely
there's a theme here that I do not like.
Well, you could actually change Belschnickel's mind if you sang or you gave him like a poem so he wouldn't beat you and he would give you candy. So there's an option.
So
we'll talk about this off air.
Okay.
You.
Last but not least, the film obviously passes for me. This is a holiday classic film for me in terms of tradition. Year after year after year, I have watched it. I've seen it. I have relished in it. I enjoy sharing it with other friends and family, people I love. And this is a movie that I will probably never stop watching during Christmas or even off Christmas when it's like just kind of when the mood hits you kind of thing. So it passes for me in terms of monocles, holiday monocles. I do give it a 5 out of 5. Like I said, this is a movie that still holds really a special place within my heart, my family's heart, and the friends that I share it with. And I do hope that there is a potential for a sequel, because that would be cool. I don't know if...
Yeah, let's see what happened with all those loose elf Santas. I would be interested, yes.
Agree.
It would be interesting, although they would probably have to change a lot of the characters to see, or maybe just like flash forward 10 years and after the business like abysmally crashed after the first year, and like Pietari now has his own son who's kind of the we got to write this stuff down and send it over to Woodpecker.
Be like, we're Americans, but we can do this for you.
But that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Filmlosophers. As we mentioned, you can check out all of our previous episodes at filmlosophers.com, where we have over 240 episodes filled with fun and fun. I couldn't really go where that was
finish,
going.
Finish fun.
Finish and fun. We've been saying that a lot, so it's up. So check it out over there. Also, check us out on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at Filmlosophy101. We'd love to check with you there. Love to talk with you. As the season's going to be going on, we got one more holiday film to cover, and that is Spencer's holiday choice for next week. So we have to figure that one out.
Yep.
Because if he doesn't, I'm going to shoehorn in Krampus. Okay. I'm telling you that now.
No.
So, yes. yes.
The intern will not be back for that episode.
Yes, yes, she will.
No.
So, like I said, this is a great episode. So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm intern Amy.
Class dismissed.
Ho, ho, ho.